nearly 50% of the people in different states are already having antibodies to COVID.
India increases inoculations. It's Monday, March 8th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, life after vaccination, finding safe food, celebrating International Women's Day. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India's inoculation drive against COVID-19 has gotten a massive boost as it begins offering vaccines to older people. The effort to increase vaccinations comes as a surge in cases in some places raises new concerns in a country where infections had declined dramatically. Anjana Pasricha has more for us from New Delhi in this report.
Senior citizens lined up enthusiastically as India expanded its vaccination program for COVID-19 to people above the age of 60 and those older than 45 with medical conditions. It's a dramatic change in a program marred by vaccine hesitancy in recent weeks when it covered healthcare and frontline workers.
I haven't gone out for a year. And I would, I feel safer to be able to move around a bit and without the fear of the virus.
Health authorities have underlined the need for inoculations as cases rise after a steady decline since September.
This marginal increase in certain states is a matter of concern. We cannot take it lightly at all.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi was among the first to get the shot this week. In a tweet, he urged people to do the same. He took a domestically developed vaccine that some had been reluctant to take because final efficacy results are not yet available. Covaxin is one of the two vaccines being administered in India. However, recent interim data showing that it is more than 80% effective would encourage more people to take the vaccine.
It is vital that we don't let this gain that India has made slip away and go Europe way, where after initial victory, they are now facing a second lockdown.
The hope is that if India can inoculate enough people in the coming months, it could break the chain of transmission in a country where millions have already been exposed to the virus. It is called herd immunity.
We have learned from various community data that nearly 50% of the people in different states are already having antibodies to COVID. And if we add this segment to that, we might be hitting that 70% magic figure of herd immunity, which actually may reach us to the tipping point beyond which the COVID numbers may start coming down automatically.
Some have questions about the vaccines. Wary of the pandemic though, most are ready for the shots.
Even if it is good only for a certain period of time, even then I feel we should go for it. I certainly will.
Since it has to be done, I've taken it. But I don't know if I'm fully convinced that this is the best shot to take.
India's two advantages, a massive reduction in infections and ample supply of shots in the world's largest vaccine producer, have raised hopes of building on gains made so far in a country that has counted over 11 million cases. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
There's much more on this story and all the stories you hear on VOA Asia. You can find it by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia. And of course, you can join us on our website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Myanmar security forces use stun grenades, tear gas against protesters. Militant attack on Pakistan Navy vehicle kills one, injures two. Cambodia aims to reduce dependency on U.S. dollar. China's media repression extends to Hong Kong, according to a report. After After 63 years, China rethinks strict residency rules. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit our Facebook page at VOA Asia and join us at our website, voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Glad to have you with us. What happens after you've received both doses of the COVID vaccine? Lisa Bakalitz looked into how much life changes, if at all. Anna Rice narrates her story.
You might be done with the COVID vaccine, but that doesn't mean you can start ignoring face masks and social distancing, say doctors. All the safety measures must stay in place.
I work in a rehab hospital, so we treat a lot of patients post-COVID who are just deconditioned, very weak, still on oxygen. So we still are going to use our masking policies. We're still going to use N95s when necessary, and we're still doing social distancing.
That's because doctors say it's still not clear if someone who had the vaccine can still spread the virus.
You may still have a little bit of virus that isn't hurting you, but it's being spread if you cough or sneeze or talk closely to someone.
Doctors urge people who have been vaccinated to continue all the usual safety measures.
We wish to keep promoting wearing the mask in the general community. We can't have some people without masks and some people with masks. That's too confusing. Wearing the mask should be the socially normal thing to do for a while. We will let you know when you can throw away the mask.
Doctors also note that a single vaccine does not guarantee someone won't be infected and caution there are new and evolving COVID-19 strains.
There's some evidence that the current vaccines are effective, but there's concerning new evidence that maybe not as effective against the South African variant.
Scientists also don't know how long the vaccine is effective, but some restrictions can be relaxed.
Suppose you want to get together with grandparents or others. If they are vaccinated and you are vaccinated, then you can get together. But suppose only they are vaccinated. Can you visit them? I say yes, but still be somewhat careful, right?
Doctors can't say for certain just yet when life will go back to the pre-pandemic normal. At first, they emphasize that it's important to get as many people vaccinated as possible. For Lisa Bakalets in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, an official from ousted de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party has died in police custody as security forces continue to crack down on anti-coup protesters in Myanmar. NLD member Khin Wong Lot was arrested during overnight raids in Yangon Saturday. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today as we begin a brand new week on VOA Asia. According to the nonprofit Feeding America Group, one in six Americans do not have easy access to healthy, safe food. VOA's Nukbat Malik takes us to one of these food banks in the Washington, D.C. region that's trying to change that.
These days in the United States, there are long lines of cars waiting to collect free food at food banks because so many have lost their jobs.
I'm not come regularly, but I'm starting about 3-4 months ago.
I have family and we have no work.
Coming here for more than 5 years.
Located some 16 kilometers from Washington, D.C., Darul Hijra Islamic Center offers free groceries to needy people. For some, this is their first visit. For others, they have been coming here for years to get food for their families.
Such as some potatoes, onions.
Social worker Nabila Om Salam says the grocery package includes halal chicken as well as basic vegetables like onions, tomatoes, and potatoes.
Every Thursday, about over 100 families that we deal with, they are registered with us. And we use a system through the county. So if they're already registered, we do have them in the system as well.
Hunger in America is not new, but the problem has become worse because of the coronavirus pandemic, which has caused so many to lose their livelihood. Feeding America, a non-governmental charity organization, estimates one in six Americans could face hunger because of the pandemic. Food banks across the country are seeing a rise in demand as unemployed Americans seek assistance.
People think, you know, you're living in America, oh, nobody goes hungry. But you'll be surprised how many people do. You know, if they're going to think, should they save their money for lunch or do they pay their rent? You know, they got to pay their rent first.
Volunteers and other staff say most of those seeking help are neither well-educated nor speak English well enough to get a good job. This group of people has never had an easy life in the United States to begin with. But the COVID pandemic has widened the gap between rich and the poor in the world's largest economy. Nukhbat Malik, VOA News, Falls Church, Virginia.
Two documentaries are shining a light on women defying the odds in the face of brutality and corruption. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with the filmmakers and has this story for us.
It's the middle of the night, and a team of Yazidi volunteers sneak into the Al-Hol refugee camp in northeastern Syria to identify and free Yazidi girls and women known as Sabayas, sexual captives hidden away by ISIS supporters. After the fall of the Islamic State, the camp became known for housing both supporters and victims of ISIS. Speaking through a translator, filmmaker Hogir Hirori says he came to the dangerous area to film his documentary Sabaya, armed with both a gun and a camera.
One of the hardest things in the process of trying to find the girls is that ISIS switches locations of the girls all the time.
Hirori, an ethnic Kurd who fled to Sweden, says finding these women would have been impossible had it not been for other women, among them former Sabayas, who dared to sneak back into the camp to help those left behind. Sabaya shows freed girls with babies and toddlers in tow, fathered by their captors. Initially, many are fearful that their families would not welcome them back. But Hirori says with the help of the volunteers, many of these traumatized women slowly rebound and find a purpose saving others. In the documentary Riding with Fire, 32-year-old Mira is the chief reporter of Khabar Lariya, the only newspaper run by women in the Indian province of Uttar Pradesh. Filmmakers Arintu Thomas and Sushmit Ghosh of the acclaimed documentary Riding with Fire explain how these Dalit women defy India's rigid caste system.
I mean, mostly Dalit women for an upper caste man would essentially be women who would be cleaning their toilets. But when they're confronted with the sight of a woman with a mobile phone asking them questions, they don't know what to say. I think essentially they're stumped.
The film shows these women asking men in power positions hard questions about rape, corruption, and oppression of minorities. Some have only basic education while others have studied journalism. Many are mothers and wives. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
Been listening to VOA Asia. Although our program is coming to a conclusion for today, you can join us again tomorrow. And in the meantime, we're online 24/7. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We thank you for joining us, and we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.